grasp the bigger picture of the week, the lectures of the week. They're going to dig in, and we're going to kind of fly over and touch those spots. But I'm pretty sure that the spots that we're going to take before will help you gather for yourself the lessons for us. Okay, we'll start with Monday. Monday, the Bible point on Monday is God made you. Now, I want to teach you the medicine that I'm going to do and the words that you're going to respond to. So, if I do this, I need you to say, wow, God. Okay? I know there's a hard word for that. Okay, that's like a name. Okay. So, God knows you. And there's a Bible story that goes with that. And the Bible story is that God has creation, your creation is a purpose to become a child of God, a unique, made on purpose, and loved by God. Now, we know in the beginning that God created. We find that creation was Adam and Eve, the first two people. And out of them came all the other people, so God has created all of us, if you will. And with those children, we are going to discuss the idea that God lovingly creates people, and as we saw from Genesis 1, when we read in the beginning God created, we're going to kind of rosy on over to Psalm 139, verse 14, where we're going to read and talk about it. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Well, here's an activity for you every day to kind of perk you up. When you get up in the morning and you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you look at it and you go, you are wonderfully made. Now, there's some of you who don't believe that most mornings. That's why you have to practice. So let's try it together. You are wonderfully made. Let's try that again. Move the motion for a second. You are wonderfully made. My friends, when I did my hair this morning, I got it. You are wonderfully made. Now, we're going to talk about our beating heart with the kids. Because we want them to draw up a few things about our bodies, about how we were made, that are just mind blowing. Like, I don't know if you knew that your heart beats about 70 times every minute, all day long. Now, some of you have issues, and you've got types to do that. Some of you beat slower, some of you beat faster. But the average is about 70 times a day. Kids are probably going to go. And then we're going to talk about our lungs. Our lungs are busy at work. One thing to do a little exercise is under the balloon. I thought about doing that this morning, but we don't have enough nurses on hand to take this pause with you. But during the course of a day, most of us breathe enough air to blow up 1,000 or more balloons. And some of you are thinking about some kids that are a lot more. That we pass that much air to our lungs. And we're going to think about how our brains function, but don't just tie it to our thinkers. But you know, when you stub your toe, anybody ever stub your toe? Does that feel good? Have you smashed on your fingertips? Does that feel good? No, but one of the things that most people don't know is when you stub your toe and smash your finger, at about 170 miles an hour, that current impact hits your brain and goes, I mean, it is just amazing how God has woven us together. And no one is just a person. Well, I know in our world today, the way we treat people, some people seem less than persons. But no one is just a person because we are each a special creation by God. He weaves us together one at a time in our mother's womb to be unique, to be on purpose, to be loved, and to be blessed. And we're going to leave the children with a verse. They're part of Psalm 139. They're going to walk away having memorized, thank you for making me so wonderfully made. Do you know that you are wonderfully made? The apple of God's eye. The Bible point is, God is for you. The Bible story tells Rahab's story about her encounter with Joshua's father
who were checking out the promised land. Now, if you recall the earlier account of Joshua, he had actually been in the promised land, but that was like 40 years ago. Now, some people go someplace once and they can always get back to it. Some of us can go place every day and still in the GPS. But who remembers a place 40 years ago to be able to know how the land was laid out? And so, Joshua, with that in mind, he who needed to know the lay of the land before they crossed the Jordan River and went in and conquered Jericho and then divided the land, he decided that he was going to send a couple of spies, and chose two really good ones, to go in and check out who, what, and where. And so, God had promised the land to Abraham and to the generations after him, and this step, going in to spy out the land, was the first step that they took on the other side of the Jordan River before moving toward their home. Now, as these spies came in, they kind of ran into Rahab. God was involved in this. They ran into Rahab, and she helped them. And you see, the local authorities had heard that they were spies and that they might be with Rahab, so they came and checked it out. And she hid the spies. She took a fire roof, and their roofs weren't like the others, those were flat. So she was driving grain for the harvest, and she hid the spies under the grain, which is really hard to take under a giant smell and burn blanket. You don't think that's great. I think it's gross. But anyway, they're going to get the picture now. And then she later was rescued by those same spies because of a piece of red rope that was tied in her window in the wall of the house. So, Rahab would be. We could have turned it in. I mean, if she had been more amenable to the violence of the day, she would have just turned it in and probably would have been butchered and that would have been done with. But instead, she was led by the Spirit and she chose to help them. She even embraced their God. And as we continue to read and run into Rahab through the scriptures, we find out later that she actually becomes a name in the genealogy of Jesus. There's a key verse there from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And I wonder this morning for you, and hopefully you'll wonder about it a little bit, is how have you been serving God? Now, you may not be having spies in your husband, but how have you been serving God? Now, the Romans say, the Bible says, is God is always with you. Let me talk to you about a little bit. The Bible story tells so much Gideon's story as he hears from God that when Gideon was around, the nation of Israel had kind of wandered off course. There was no longer just God, there were all these other little gods, deities, things, chunks of rock and chunks of wood that they bowed down to. And as we listen to Gideon's story, we recognize that he hears from God, God spoke to him, and he invites him to help them turn the hearts of the people back to him. He does it in a couple of ways. First, his own father had a problem with idol worship. He had an astral form and he had an altar, and God restored the destruction of those two items to make a point. Yet, as he did this, the attention gets worse. It continues to get worse. And at one point, we find Gideon, he is in a wine press. Now, that would have been kind of a pour, pretty big pour on the ground, and it would have been wine appropriately, because that's where they would have worked on their wine. But he was in there, with a dusty hole in the ground, beating out the grain to get the kernels out of it, hiding, because the enemies, the Midianites, they had come in and robbed them of all the goodness they had. They had trampled or stolen their crops, and they had even brought in their animals to eat up what is green was on the ground, and they had left the nation of Israel starving and thirsty. And so Gideon is doing this work, and that's where God used him to make the first move against the Midianites through his father. But he then asked him to raise up an army. And I am suspecting that when Gideon was asked by God to raise up an army, he probably looked around and said, me? I'm hiding. You want me to raise up an army? And God said, yeah, we got this. you send out the word and you round up all the people wanting to be in the army, and you raised over 30,000 men who wanted to be warriors. And you brought them together, and God said, well, that's too many. And so God gave him a couple of tests to kind of weed out the ones that shouldn't be there. And some of them were fearful, and some of them were caring. And you'll have to go and take the Old Testament and read that, and you'll figure that out. And Judges chapter 7, and that's the story, okay? And so in the end, Gideon was left with 300 mighty men who he armed with a quilt and a trumpet. And they became the noise out of which God conquered the Midian. Yeah. And verse 9 of chapter 1, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You can't go anywhere if God's not there waiting for you. You can't run to any of your favorite sins if God's not there going. You just can't do it because God is everywhere. Now, I'm wondering that this morning, as I'm thinking about Gideon, and there's a little bit of the story I told you, really, to go read the story, it's fascinating. But how have you made yourself ready to serve God? What have you done that you would be ready if He called your name? Praise God. The Bible point is God will always love you. Yeah, I love that God loves me. There are some days I don't love me. I let myself down, I don't love me. But God always loves me. He sees beyond the moment. He sees all the moments. And the part of the story, we're going to unpack Jesus' story. How He came among us as one of us to rescue us from our sins. For those of you who don't do a lot of BBS, Jesus always comes to vacation by the floor on Sunday. He spent Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday talking to kids up, helping them learn to trust their teachers and their guides as they're walking around, they're developing a relationship. And then on Thursday night, we share with them Jesus. They just inspire us to follow up if they make decisions. And so, we're going to unpack Jesus' story. Again, as I said, as He came among us, as one of us, to help rescue us from our sins. Now, the Bible is clear. It tells us that we have all sinned, that we all deserve to be punished. Actually, it says we all deserve to die. There's nothing to you or I, not even together. There's nothing we can do to make that right, because the woe of our sins has violated the holiness of God. And there are three verses I will say this morning. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not in yourself, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one should boast. It is a way of boasting, then it will be our pride because of sin, and you lose it already. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, if we admit our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us in all unrighteousness. You know, at some point in our conversation with God, each one of us has to own, I'm broken, I'm a sinner, I have sinned. We might even need to label some of those sins in our conversation with God. And then Jesus explains in John chapter 14. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no way to heaven. There is no way to eternal life. There is no way to that better life we would all like to have. And the relationship with Jesus. And so He came among us, and on the cross, Jesus offered His life to cleanse us from our sins. It was His blood that washed away our sins. Our sins stuck us. It wouldn't wash us. We couldn't get rid of it. But it was Jesus' blood that washed us. And then He rose to new life, leading the way for us to rise to new life, here and now, and in heaven for us. And faith. And what He did on the cross. And this is our lives, this is our heart to receive this new life that He has made possible for us. And then, on the other side of that decision, we get to live our daily lives guided by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Wow. You see verses from Psalm 89, your unfailing love will last forever. The question I have for you this morning, that's why I took my question. Have you trusted Jesus for eternal life. A new chapter. And then I thought, the Bible claims God made you for a reason. And I know some of you are thinking, I take up space. What made you? That's not the reason God made you. Yes, we all take up space. That's just the law of the world. We take up space. But God made you for a very particular reason. The Bible story, the children of Israel, they're going to walk through all the God's encounter with David and his men as they struggled with Nabal. Nabal was known as many sheep, and the sheep that he owned, David, at one point in his life, he and his men were around, they were protecting the sheep from wild animals, from poachers, and they kept them safe. And some of the aggressors that came near, they chased them away. But instead of saying thank you, Nabal said to David, "Look, you're going to buy a present." And they began to march toward Nabal, and they were going to teach him a lesson. Now, if you think about that, swords and spears, anger, they didn't turn bloody. But one of the servants of Nabal heard this and ran to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and warned her of what was happening. And she rallied her resources. She was one smart kid. She put together this idea. She gathered up a general gift, loaded it on donkeys and other animals, and she went to David and to his men before he got to Nabal. And David wisely accepted Abigail's offer as an apology on behalf of the victim. And he and they enjoyed the gift that she had. Now, in the end, we'll learn that. You know what that's only one story? At the end, we find that Nabal dies. He dies in a stone heart. Somebody else is miserable. He just died in a stone heart. David was presented for the act of war. And Abigail, when she became a part of David's family, that is one of the happily ever after stories. I love that story. I can read that over and over again. But there's a key verse. There's from Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans for you, says the Lord." God has a plan for you. You may be sitting there thinking, and he's got a plan for you. And it's all detailed out. And he is speaking to you. He whispers to us. And sometimes he says to us, he says, "You're not real good with the whisper." But he has a plan for our lives. So when life is complicated and hard, do you listen to God? Or do you have your own staff of advisors to say things you prefer to hear? Now, at the end of the week, I'm sure we get each of the children, each of the volunteers, is also put up with these lessons too. That's what I mean. They get to enjoy these lessons too. And that is that each child, each volunteer, will be reminded that they are indeed special. They are a unique creation by God. And we would want you to know that you are not just another body. You are each and every one of you in this room this morning, listening this morning, you are God designed. You're an addition to the world and to our church community. And Rahab is not just another person from Jericho. She was well known. She was too well known. She did so, that makes sense. And she could have been one of those people, but she chose to act as one of his people. And then I think about and embrace the God who knows us by name. He knows us by the name he calls us. And for Joe, for George, for Rachel, for Seth. But by that special name he has to you. Now, it's just one of my parents that I met my family. I'm not going to tell you that because it's so much fun to me. But maybe you've had nicknames over the years. And they mean something to you when they come from the front right now. And when God speaks your name, you know, Gideon was just really God's plan, but he was willing to obey God. He was willing to obey God even to do God's faith. Slavery business, okay, a lot bigger than he thought he could do. Bigger than he thought he could manage to pull off. And Gideon watched God do miracles in his small faith. And you're not alone talking about that. If he leads us into our mission field, whether it's at school or work or store, in our neighborhood, wherever we are, his calling is on each one of us to tell others about him. And sometimes we need to be his hands and feet, his wallet, his voice, before we even get to share the testimony of Jesus. And Jesus explains that he is the way, the only way. It's less mess, it's more choice. You know, we could choose to stir the boiling water with spoon, or fork, or your hand. And that last choice would be a smart one. And you and I have a series of choices that we deal with when we decide how we're going to determine where we're going to spend eternity. And one of them is not a smart one that hand in boiling water. We'll talk about that in a minute. This salvation that Jesus makes possible, new life, it's never forced us. Jesus did the heavy lifting. He was the one who died on the cross. He's just asking you to trust what he did. And you and I keep it decided. Do I want to survive? And sometimes you and I, we know what we know because we've lived through things and not just lived, but we've learned through them. But Abigail, what she knew about Nabal, and the power of angry men, she holds it together to something better. And sometimes you and I have to think and pray a little bit as we read together the discussion for a while for something better for ourselves or for others around us. So there's going to be five notes, five lessons, 45 volunteers. We hope all of them make it to the end of the week. 150 children. Now, they all won't be there every night, thank you, Jesus. But they will be there over the course of the week. There's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be limitless energy from children. How many people here are volunteers to be here this week? Rest of you, not with your hand, but look around. These are the people you want to be praying for this week. That they will be here next Sunday, having survived and thrived for the year. We don't want the children to just know, but we want them to begin to find it. And perhaps make that life-changing decision with us or later. There's always somebody who does that every year. This is a beautiful thing to say, Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, I want my life what you've done so that I can be with you. And then going forward, I just wanted to remind you about BBS in a very big way so you remember Christ. I wanted to kind of lay the outline of the lessons before you so that you might think, well, I've missed 2 and 3, 1 and 4. Maybe you and I should check it for the third. But I want to remind you that you are special. I want to remind you that God has a plan for your life. And I want to remind you that that plan is bigger than